Hello, and welcome to Veterans Talk. I'm your host, Priscilla Jones, and in this episode, I'm just going to share my experience with the claims process with the VA. Now, before I get started, I want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Anchor. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need in one place for free, which you can use right from your smartphone or computer. It has creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast so that it sounds incredibly great. They'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard everywhere like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and so many more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Download the Anchor app or go to www.anchor.fm to get you started. Okay, so like I said before, this is just an intro episode, which I'm starting today. This is my first time doing a podcast, and I thank you all for downloading this very first episode. All right, so for starters, I'm a disabled veteran, okay, who served in the Army and the Reserves from 1987 to 1996. My job in the military was a wire system installer, and the MOS was 31 Lima. For those of you who know or are familiar with that MOS, which is the military occupational skill. Of course, I got injured and suffered a few illnesses along the way. But when I got out, I didn't know much until later on that compensation could be made for injuries or illnesses sustained in service. So I began the claims processes back in September 1999, experiencing the backlog of claims appeals from 2002 up until the present, for different conditions, of course. Okay, so when I looked to the Department of Veterans Affairs, I said, oh my gosh, this is supposed to be a structured system to help veterans returning from war to be established and their families, providing decent health care and provisions pertaining to care for the veterans. But I have discovered that we have truly stepped so far away from the promises made from our government that now the war is really between the veterans obtaining benefits rightly due to them and the bureaucratic judgmental officials dictating what we are and are not entitled to have. Huh. The military wants you fit as a fiddle, healthy as a horse, to train and mold you into the killer machine or a go-getter soldier. But when we get sick, maimed, or injured, they patch us right up, sometimes downgrading our serious complaints to keep us or our head in the game. But when your time of service is done and your physical issues become more than soldiering on, what do? We must turn to the VA for help. Now, I don't know about you, but when I left service, it was back in 1988. I know I'm dating myself. And I didn't know much about what the VA did or stood for. I happened to go on a website at my job at that time, and I went to www.va.gov thinking I'm getting into my intranet system on the job, and it went into the Veterans Administration site. Okay, so, excuse me, I found out that today's veterans, they're very much more educated, and now they're leaving service as, and they're getting like those little pamphlets on what the VA can be an assistance for. So they'll know that their benefits or what the VA offers them after service, they're entitled to, which is very great. I wish they had it during my time. Oh, it saved me a lot of trouble. Okay, so since I've been out of service for a long time, I can tell you that filing the compensation claim today has gotten streamlined very tremendously. In my decade of filing in the early to mid-90s, I had to file an application. It was like about 20 pages long. And once I fill out the form, I had to either mail it, fax it, or bring it down to my local regional office. And the regional office handled everything from processing the claim, scheduling your CMP exams, and the decision reviews and lower level appeals. That's what they do. Then in the mid-2000s, some genius decided to take away our rights to call our local regional offices and put into place a call center system. Any correspondence from the regional offices had the VA logo and address, left out the telephone numbers. Okay, sorry about that. They left out the telephone number on your correspondence from the VA. from your regional office. Now, if you knew their number, right, and calls, it would direct you to call 1-800-827-1000. At first, as it still does today, when you get through, you think you're calling your state's number, but no, you're actually being routed to different states. And they never could give you a direct knowledge-based answer like your own regional office. So frustrating, but it stayed in effect until this day. We still have a humongous backlog while this was going on. The decision review was still long, taking between an estimated 18 to 2.5 years to complete, depending on your conditions and situation. And as the congressional district's constituents complained, that would be us, state representatives enacted for changes due to the backlog. In comes the advent of the automated system of filing claims online. It was to decrease the amount of paperwork accrued from evidence gathering and redundancy. Like all things first implemented, there were problems on the receiving end, theirs, not ours, okay? And the VA set up a one-stop center that will handle all your incoming claims, gather your evidence, review your claim request for disability, handle scheduling appointments at your local VA medical center, and other correspondences. The VA called it the Evidence Intake Center. Oh, I wish I had an echo effect for that one. Believe it or not, this convenience center has now taken the place of your local regional office's responsibility, or in a less argumentative style, relieving some of the burdens of shared responsibility to be an effective claims backlog de-stressor. Now, if you notice real good, there are no direct telephone numbers to call at all to anyone, except the VA's call center phone number, of course. So now we are all cut off from speaking to any VA personnel working inside the department, other than the service reps. Okay, so on my recent claim for patellofemoral arthritis in both my knees, I filed first a notice of intent to file in the previous year. My personal opinion about an intent to file, it would only work for the veteran if the backlog lasted more than a year. Anyway, I used the new VON app, Veterans Online Application Process. I went through the two-step authentication process to sign into vets.gov and began filling out my new claim. 2 weeks later, approximately, I received a correspondence letter from the Evidence Intake Center dated December 28, 2018. Last year. To inform me, their office received my electronic claims form dated December 18th, 2018. That's the actual day I filed via vets.gov. I opted to do the fully developed claim path, but the information I sent them was over a year old, so they bounced me to the standard claim process. Don't worry, the Evidence Intake Center sent me another correspondence letter of the fact that this was the step being taken. All right, cool. And it lets me know that I had 30 days additional to submit in new evidence. In other words, something current under 1 year. So I scrambled to get a specialty doctor's appointment and secure a date and time. Then I called the VA call center to find out what they see in the computer about my claim. That's what I always do. And the VA customer service rep then gave me the facts and told me that I had like less time than I thought to turn in new evidence. Veterans, let me say that whenever you get a letter from the Evidence Intake Center in this regard, know that your 30-day countdown begins on the date that letter is created, and not when it comes to your mailbox and not when you open it to read. So I made my appointment, attended it, to release of information to get a copy of the progress notes. And by the time I got home, I went back online and updated the pages to my claim. Now, let me step back and give this awesome advice that was told me in the service by my drill sergeant. He said, get a copy of everything that you signed for, witness to, or includes your social security number. It's your legal right, no matter who or where it comes from. So I'm so glad I listened to him, because I truly get a copy from anyone when it comes to that. And veteran, it's especially good to have, because then you'll read what the doctor and staff actually say about you, that they may say or may not say to your face, okay? You'll gain knowledge about your condition and you can use it for evidence in future claims later on as an establishment of continuing disability problems. Plus, while you're there, get your lab results and x-rays if blood, urine, and or radiology were involved in your doctor's visit as well. I have read in my report things that were discussed between me and my primary doctor, and this is just an example of why it's good to get the ROI of your doctor's visit. One time when I was engaged, I happened to share that offhandedly, not related to the issue I came for, to my primary doctor. Don't you know, my primary doctor actually wrote in the progress notes, PT, which stands for patient, PT states she is engaged and will be married soon. Now, how is that working for my benefit? Sometimes my niece or nephew attends my visits, you know, to help me around not identifying them in my, in my progress notes. And then the doctor assumedly calls them my son or daughter, which still is not a part of my reason for being there. Okay, that's enough of my rant. So, after my CMP exam this April, which is, about a couple months just passed here, all right? So, I went to the to get the mail for to find out what was going on, and then lo and behold, I got my decision review letter, and in the letter. Okay, I believe that since it was uncomplicated claim development, it went fast, even as a standard claim. So, I said, okay, let's find out what's going on. All right, so the review letter came, and it was dated on April the 15th, 2019. Okay, I was granted the minimum, the minimum percentage, 10%. So far, I'm on the board. And I was very, very grateful for that. Now, knowing myself, I pick apart every word, dissect it just to find any errors and inconsistencies on whatever the decision review officer says. Because a lot of times, if you don't really read it through, you'll find out that they've misspelled things, they misquote things, and sometimes it's not as accurate as it's supposed to be, because they're in a rush to go and get things accomplished. All right, so then I'm looking for any inconsistencies, with the evidence and even the ratings and diagnostic code, make sure that, and everything that falls into my condition falls under the correct symptoms under Title 38 CFR 4. That's supposed to be the Code of Federal Regulations in which we get our benefits from. All right, so now I'm just exactly about 90% combined rating disabled. I'm also 100% unemployability, which is a pretty good thing. But I just wanted to see how that process works, and I'm pretty much pleased with it. Okay, so that's my experience using today's modern system of VA claims processing. All right, so all in all, veterans, you know your rights, okay, in the claims process. Educate yourselves on your conditions in which you're applying for and compare the level of severity ratings under Title 38 CFR 4. Thank you for listening to Veterans Talk Podcast. Subscribe to get the recent episodes on more topics, more future segments, and send me your comments. I do read them. You can also email me at vetstalk1@aol.com. Some of you have stories that you want to share, and I would love to feature them on a special segment. And you can read my blog on various ideas, thoughts, and topics at bit.ly/gomilitarygirl, all one word. Plus, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at USArmyWise20. That does it for me. And I'm also on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Breaker for now. All right. So thank you for joining me. And I really look forward to hearing from you. And I look forward to sharing more stories with you. And that's all for today on Veterans Talk.